Whoa. We're halfway there. Whoa. Living on a prayer.
NDC does not endorse or approve of the views or song lyrics expressed the way they are on this podcast.
Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
Such these are the days of like mall music at NDC The Mills. How's it going, guys?
You went to college for music, right?
I did. I specifically was like, I had to think in my head.
Can I sing this?
I was like, what is the worst way I've ever heard something sung? Just like that. That's how I'm gonna do it. So.
Well, we just lost those listeners, but that's
okay. All right. So. We're going to just dive into the events, we're going to do the books, and then we're going to talk about Wizard World at the end.
Okay.
Because everybody's probably dying to hear how it went. I've had a couple days to stew on it. You know,
I'm not sure they're waiting with bated breath.
Ah. Oh my god! It must be. Yeah, see, there's people screaming.
Right? Oh my god, Wizard World! What? Alright, anyway, so, we'll start with events. So, actually today starts the Silver Age sale.
Or subscribers.
Subscribe. New comic book subscribers. Not just subscribers, not podcast subscribers, new comic subscribers. That means we pull your books for you every single week when you come in. Mm-hmm. You ask, you say your name, we hand you a stack. That's it. Those guys can come in today, get 25% off all the Silver Age in the store. So $3 Silver Age, high grade Silver Age, low grade Silver Age, super pricey books, whatever we got, as long as it's Silver Age. So the key is it has to be Silver Age. Some books in the cases are not Silver Age. They are Modern Age, which are not included. So well,
can we give them the date range so people can know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so today starts for custom, like for subs.
No, I meant the date range of Silver. Like oh. What counts so people can come in understanding.
Well, there's like a blurry edge to it.
Isn't
but
like
it's
a price thing, too? Isn't
yeah, for the most part, it's considered 25-cent cover or less.
Okay.
For the most part, generally speaking.
All right.
Some of those 25-cent books, though, are actually Modern Age.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a little bit of a weird blur on that line, but
I mean, just you know, to arm them with some knowledge, they can be
yeah.
If they walk in,
yeah.
Look at the case, and it's like a 10-cent book, Silver Age. They know it's going to be
correct
25% off.
Yep, okay. And, but there are exclusions per store.
Sure.
So make sure you come in and ask before you buy. Mm-hmm. The Silver Age sale runs tomorrow, Saturday the 19th, and the 20th Sunday for everybody else. So if you want to come in and get something cool, go for it. There are really good books in all the stores right now because I personally put them in there.
Yes, and so those of you that are regulars in any of the stores, all the stores have just shifted their stock. So everything's going to be different.
Yep.
It's not going to be the ones you remember from 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, and those stocks are disappearing on Tuesday. And then they're going to be shifted around again the following week.
Right.
So if you like something, you better go now. Mm-hmm. Also, Saturday, we got a lot of stuff going on tomorrow. C3 has a Magic Grand Prix trial for Pittsburgh. Me and Dan will be there for that. It's going to be a fun time. In Elwood on Sunday, or Saturday, though, is the cave sale. So you can go to the VFW, dollar dive. Nothing's in order. Don't think that you're going to go to the basement, because that's closed. Just the VFW, you can go in and dig. There also are dollar books in Main Elwood that are not sorted upstairs. You can buy those, too. They're still a dollar, but the VFW, we only open like two or three times a year. It is a big deal. It's going to not actually be too terrible weather-wise, which is awesome.
Last time was it cold, right?
Oh, man, last time I was in there, my hands, like, went numb. It's pretty bad. So then next week, me and a couple guys will be at Baltimore. So if you like to go to Baltimore Comic Con and you want to shop NDC's booth, come see us. I will probably be bouncing around pimping out Three Rivers Comic Con.
The drive-in.
Four hours
to pretend like you're back home in the third right? store.
Well, no, I mean, there's people that listen to this that are from, like, all over the place.
I'm just kidding.
So there could be that guy that lives in Allentown that only, you know, listens to the podcast and doesn't go very far, wants to shop our booth. We're going to have a lot of cool stuff.
Totally valid.
It is mostly going to be Silver Age and Modern. Silver Age and pricey Modern is most of the stuff we're taking. But if you've never been to Baltimore, it is huge. We're talking, like, I think it's something like 150,000 square feet.
Wow.
It is huge, if not bigger. It's right on, in the Inner Harbor. They do the Harveys Saturday night. A lot of the artists will have stuff for Heroes, the Heroes Initiative there, which is great. But it is a very comic con there, which is similar to what we're going to do with Three Rivers. There's only 3 pop culture guests the entire weekend.
Wow.
It's Katie Cassidy, who is Black Arrow, or Black Canary on Arrow right now, aka Laurel, so Black Canary 2. The dude who plays her dad, that I can never remember his name, it's something Black something, why I can't remember it, it's slipping my mind. But he's awesome. And then Edward James Olmos.
From Agency.
Yes, I would have went with Battlestar Galactica. Right.
I was thinking
but
modern.
So. I am totally going to... Well, that's pretty modern. I'm totally going to be like,
what was it like
being in command of the Battlestar Galactica?
He'll be like, get away from me.
He is. He's going to be like, nerd. And I'm going to be like, you knew David Carradine when he was young and cool. So, because I think they did a lot of like Western-y stuff together, if I remember right, or they were friends.
Every other guest is like comic related.
Every other guest is 100% comic related.
Why did they even do those 3? That's kind of weird.
Scott Snyder's going to be there. That's the point. Like, they want to have that in there, but they don't want to overwhelm it, so they limit it. Every year, it's like 2 to 3, and that's it. But Valiant will be there. Action Lab will be there. IDW, Dynamite. The guest list is insane. Like, it is super, super packed with some really awesome talent, some great guys. Their artist alley is huge. It runs the entire length of the convention center.
Awesome.
It's huge. So if you've never been there, like I said, come on down, have some fun.
Remember, always, you know, try and support the artist alley, I think, you know, more than other things. Like, because
correct.
It's, you know, it's local, whatever con you're at, it's most likely there's going to be some local people, so you're helping them out, and then you've got like your top tier artists and stuff like that,
right,
that, you know, they want to hear that, they want to know that, like, you're liking the books, like, you know, if it's selling, they know, but at the same time, everybody wants to hear that hey,
right,
your work is really fantastic, you know, and you can get some original sketches or just pick up some prints or whatever,
right,
and it's...
Remind me to tell you about my conversation with Tom DeFalco.
Okay.
So, which is a Wizard World story, which we'll get to later. It's a lot of fun. Like, Artist Alley is where it's at, because these are the guys that, like, they go to these things to possibly be found, and then 9 times out of 10, their art's, like, really good, and they just haven't been found, because a lot of publishers won't take anything that's not submitted as a team. So they could be this really awesome artist that no one knows because you can't find a writer... And or vice versa. God, I can't remember this thing. So definitely check it out. And like, their prices are usually way cheaper, and the art's still really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's gonna be tons of cool guys down there. So check it out. Also, Baltimore is a really, really nice city. As long as they're not rioting. but that's pretty much how that is.
I'm sorry. We're gonna have to go and tell them. So
no,
listen,
no.
Yeah. All right. So we're laughing because John, for the last 10 minutes, has been one-handedly trying to open up a Starburst on the table, and it was stuck to the thing, so it kept peeling off a little bit, and then he finally has to like hold the microphone on, use 2 hands, and it was
delicious.
It was too much.
It was delicious.
I'm just staring, going,
so,
what
fair
are
enough.
You doing?
Whatever. All right. Continuing on.
I'm sorry.
So the next thing after that is Saturday, September 26th and Sunday, September 27th. Magic Gathering, Battle for Zendikar, pre-release events.
Huge, huge deal.
Huge, huge deal. Giant buzz on this one.
Everyone is like super excited.
Yeah.
Like, more than... When I first started, like, one of the big buzzes was for Dragons of Tarkir,
right.
But... That kind of like just sort of fizzled, like, man, no one really liked it.
Yeah, by the time after Fate came out, everybody was like, man, all right.
Origins got a lot of spikes because of the flip planeswalkers and stuff, but this, everyone's super excited for not only the full art lands, which is just visually cool, and some of the other full art cards, but everyone's super psyched for the actual cards that have been leaked in the playing style that this is going to, like, not, not going to revolutionize anything, but it's going to really bring up fun combos, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the actual, like, mechanics that are coming back, like, with a lot of the allies stuff, like, landfalls back. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crazy. And full art lands.
Yes.
Full art lands. Everybody loves these things.
Yep.
So, go buy your fat packs, because... Yep, because that's going to be crazy.
Yes, cause, so they're not going to be... That's what... And people have brought that up, too. It's like, oh, it's, but, you know, it's going to drive the prices down. People aren't... I still stand by the fact that I don't think everyone that's excited for full art lands cares about them being expensive or, like, valuable.
No.
They want them because they love the art, and they want to trick out their decks with all their
lands.
Full art lands. So they want a ton of them.
Also, there is only one of each land that was a reprint art of the original Zendikar.
Oh, really?
So, like, for each plane, because there's five planes,
mm-hmm.
one of them is a reprint from the original Zendikar, and the rest are not.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, they're keeping it. They brought back Stargate Mountain, which is kind of cool. I didn't like the forest they used. I did like the swamp, everything else. Like, yeah. And they used the Bowl Island, which is my favorite one, where it's like dumping a bowl of water.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the island. It's pretty cool. All right. Let's talk some Kamiks. So, do you want to go first or want me to go first? I don't care.
I'll go first.
Okay. Oh.
All right, so the first one is from publisher IDW. Let's see here. Written and drawn by Thom Zaylor. So it's actually written and drawn by the same person, which is kind of cool. Didn't realize that. It's called Long Distance. Number four. So I believe this is the end. Well, I believe it was just a four-part mini, especially the way it ends. So it's kind of weird. It's weird in the not weird sense. What basically, it's literally just some dude, like in an airport, talking to like someone he's sitting next to, and he's not telling his life story, but he's telling like the life story of the relationship to him and his girl. And there's nothing else to it. It's well written. The artwork is kind of kiddish, cartoonish, but it's not bad. It's totally just like, I don't want to say, it's basically like a chick flick in a comic form, like a romantic comedy, but it is. Yeah. So it's just the two of them and they're, you know, cause it's, their whole point was their relationship had to go to long distance. And so, you know, he keeps coming back and stuff whenever something's wrong, but she's starting to feel that, oh, it's not going to work because I never see him. It's too hard. You know, so they have to work it out kind of thing. And,
right.
You know, the supporting cast is kind of cool. Like, she's taking care of her grandmother, but her grandmother's not some, you know, doddering old woman. She's, like, strong and intelligent. She's kind of, I'd equate her visually and, like, personality to, like, Ultimate Comics Aunt May.
Right.
You know, only a little older than that. So, because she's not working or whatever, but it's that kind of tough old girl style that, you know, she's smart, she's funny. It wasn't bad. Like, I mean, I read it and I was like, I didn't dislike it. It wasn't boring. It was just like, okay, it's really just a relationship story.
Right.
You know, and you're kind of like, okay, is this... You know, I didn't get concerned, but I was kind of like hoping that it would work out, you know? I'm like, well, they seem like two good characters. Like, it's not one of those things where one, like, the guy's a douche and, you know, it's something...
Right.
Like, he's a good guy. She's cool. They're loyal to each other. I mean, I don't know what happened in the first three issues, but I don't believe there was any cheating or anything.
Right.
It was just like, and she's like a really smart scientist. He's like an ad man type of thing. You know, it was cool. I mean, I'm not tempted to go read the first three necessarily, but because it'll just be, it's a lot. It's like more pages than I realized. Like, it was really thick.
Right.
It kept going and going. I'm like, wow, isn't this gonna like end soon? But yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, if you're into that, if you're in an, I wouldn't call it like a character piece per se,
right.
But if you want to see something that's just like outside the norm, not just, you know, something weird or something superheroes smacking each other around, it's not bad.
I like when superheroes smack each other around.
I as well. I'm just saying, if you
but
want to
Brian,
deviate from that a little bit.
But what if, why, you can't deviate from the plan. It's not good to deviate from the
plan. Don't deviate from the flight plan.
Stop deviating from the flight plan. All right. So my first book is, all right, so my book. My book is Star Wars Shattered Empires, Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, number one, by
Jeez,
Greg Rucka.
How many more sentences can that title
be? I don't know. By Greg Rucka.
Yeah, well.
So preface to this is I'm really trying to stay away from anything that has to do with the new movie until the new movie comes out,
right?
So I was like, I'm going to read number one, and if anything else, if anything crazy happens in here, I'm going to stop immediately. I did not stop immediately,
okay,
because nothing happened in this
book.
It is pretty boring. So it's like, you know, it opens up and it's like the end of Jedi, and they blow up the Death Star, and there's a couple different rebel pilots. It focuses on like a rebel pilot and her husband, who's a rebel soldier, and like they blow up the Death Star, and then everybody's happy, and then they go down to Endor and they party with the Ewoks.
And it's Monday morning, and they still go back to work.
And Lando hits on her, and and he's like, "I am a connoisseur of beauty in all things, my friend." It was like the best written Lando line ever. Like the best is when the Ewoks have to talk, because it's nerb nerb but nub ner.
Well, sure, you got a nerb after you.
Right,
nerb.
You got a nerb and then ner and then nop nerb nerb and then bum nerb. So then, like, you know, they reunite after everything's over, and they sleep together, and then the next morning they get up because apparently there's like a hold up. There's a holdout of Imperial troops somewhere on Endor, and they're like kind of in a hole, and they're like, and Han's just like, "Well, we gotta go take them out, because if not, it's just gonna show that we're weak." And I'm like, that was totally not a Han Solo line.
No, not at all.
And like, or like, it was that was the inflection. It wasn't that a specific line, but it was very weird, and I was just like, this is really, like, kind of boring.
like
I read the whole book, and I'm just like, meh, whatever. And then they, like, so they get into the little base thing, and then Han's just like, "It's not over yet." And I'm just like, okay, this can be, I think it's over for me. So it was okay. It wasn't for me. Like, I've read better Star Wars books. Regular Star Wars, excuse me, regular Star Wars is better than that book. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, so, you're talking new Star Wars book.
Right? Yeah, actually, that one, or the Brian Wood one, the last Dark Horse one, was really good, too. But, like, it's just, it's meh. Like, I was just, like, really kind of, I'm, like, reading it, and I'm like, I don't even care. Like, the first third of the book is just, like, them blowing up the Death Star. Like, they could have just been like, "Hey, this takes place right after Episode 6. And then immediately started with, like, the party at Endor.
Yeah.
And then had more time to tell things. Like, people don't need to know what the person was doing during the battle that blew up the Death Star. Mm-hmm. They just need to know that they were there. Maybe you use it as flashbacks later on. Would have been totally cool, Greg Rucka. But no. No, you used it at the beginning. It was okay. So. Meh.
All right. So, my second book is Starfire, number 4. DC, obviously. And where the heck do they have their page?
It's usually in the front.
Really?
It's sometimes it's like the second or third one in.
Oh.
Yeah. There it is.
Yep. Amanda Connor and Jimmy
Palmiotti.
Palmiotti are the writers, and Emmanuel.
Who will both be in Baltimore, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I like the artwork straight off the bat. Now, the cover, of course, is like the Harley Quinn style.
It's Amanda Connor.
Yeah. So, that, you know, I'm like, oh, it's like the same style as Harley. And then the inside is different, but really good. I like the detail. The writing was decent. It was a fun book. It's kind of, like, I guess they're clearly going for a funny tone.
Yeah.
Like, at least that's what I get. Because it's like, they're basically making a hot version of Teen Titans ditzy Starfire that doesn't understand human anything.
Well, they've been kind of doing that since, since before the New 52, they've been trying to do that.
Okay.
New 52 came out, and they really tried to do it. Then they made her, like, super slutty for a while.
Okay.
Like, real slutty. It was
really
weird. I was like, all right, this is a little over the line, guys, but all right.
So it picks up where there's some sort of, like, because there's this other girl who's kind of like, what's her name? Shoot, from Teen Titans, who's Terra. She's kind of like Terra, because this one can control Earth.
make it, like, do things. Like, think Pyro from the X-Men, who can, like, shoot flames and make them turn into...
Can I see her?
Turn into...
right there.
Dragons or whatever, yeah. Oh. So this girl can manipulate Earth in a similar fashion.
Isn't like, isn't that what's her name from, like, the current Titans book?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't do DC.
I don't do Titans.
So, anyway, she's, like, from a race, lives underground, and she's, like, was sent up top to try and, like, stop us from...
She's a mole man.
She is a mole man. She's a hot mole.
Mole man. Mole woman.
Woman. Mole person. Be right. So she's a mole person. She was sent up to, like, stop... make us stop screwing up the Earth, because our screwing up is getting so far through the crust of the Earth, it's hitting their world.
Oh, no.
So, anyway, and she's apparently was, like, betrothed to some jerk, and he, like, she said, no, I'm not marrying that jerk, and left. And he's sending assassins to kill her, and it's this giant, like, red demon-looking creature, but if you hit it in any way, it gets bigger. Like, so you can't zap it, you can't punch it, you can't do anything.
Interesting.
So she thought she got rid of it by encasing it like an iron ball in, like, the last time she battled it, but he must have broke out. So Starfire's there just trying to help, and they do this kind of cool thing where she's like, okay, look, you know, how strong are you? And she's like, well, I'm pretty strong, you know, like, not quite Superman levels, but, you know, good. She's like, okay, you fly 5 miles out of the ocean, I will throw him to you, and when you do, when you catch him, fly like another 126 miles in this direction, because they're in Florida.
Okay.
And then when you get there, start blasting him. And she's like, well, won't that make it bigger? She's like, yes, you understand what I'm doing? And she's like, oh, I do get it. So the whole point is to just, she flies him out there and blasts him until he gets super huge and more dense, and he drops into the water
into
and
the
sinks,
ocean
yeah,
drowns.
Sinks the, yeah.
Okay.
But, and that's kind of cool. It's a good strategy. It's smart. But then it's like, it gets, you know, she comes back, and, because this girl, you know, Starfire's orange, of course. The other girl looks normal, so she, like, was a waitress in one of these restaurants. And the sheriff is a female, and she's, like, freaking out because it's like she's just getting fed up with, like, I got this orange girl, you know, because she knows, because I guess
right.
Starfire's staying with her.
You got this mole girl.
Yeah, and, like, my favorite waitress is,
hey,
like,
it's
a
Power
super
Girl.
Human. Yeah, Power Girl's reference, because apparently she trained the underground girl.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so it's one of those things where it's like the sheriff is just freaking out, and she's like, what can I just, you know, and then Starfire's doing that, oh, did we upset you, and so, you know, that weird talk.
Yeah.
And she's like, then some funny lines, some goofy, because, like I said, she's staying with the sheriff and her brother, and she's like, oh, you can come visit me. I'm staying in the small house that's attached to their bigger house, you know, and it has a pool.
Right.
And the underground girl's like, I haven't been in a pool in ages. I just bought a new swimsuit. And Starfire's like, you know, oh, I don't have a swimsuit, but I'm allowed to swim naked in the pool anytime. And then the sheriff's like, let me guess, my brother said it was okay. And she's like, yes, he did. Don't listen to my brother. But you told me to listen to shut up. You know, it's just, like, it's just really funny. It's like, I can swim naked anytime I want.
Right.
You know.
That's pretty funny, though.
You know, and just, it's, I don't know how I feel. Like, and to, like, they give her a group hug because, you know, Starfire misreads everything. And she's like, oh,
right.
You are upset. You were just, you need what is called the group hug. And they occasionally, like, when someone uses, like, a metaphor, she'll like a little thought bubble of Starfire, like, trying to picture it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's like watching someone fight the Invisible Man in Bullet Time, and she's picturing, like, a bullet with a wristwatch, you know, and it's like, okay. And then, you know, another goofy thing is, like, later on, the outside shower is not working, and so, like, she asked the brother to fix it, and he's like, oh, it just wasn't turned on out here, like, the...
Right.
The thing from the house connecting it. He's like, yeah, you should be fine. You just, you know. And so she, like, throws her towel at him and starts stripping. Like, you see from his point of view, and he's like, or not from his point of view, like, her bikini starts hitting her piece by piece. And he's like, you're killing me here. And she's like, that is not true. It's like, I can't believe for a second that you don't know what you're doing to me right now. You know? and she's like, I do not understand. You know, and it's like, okay, whatever. And then she, you know, he walks off. But it's like, it was kind of funny. The whole book was like, yeah, it was cute. It's like, I'm not too crazy about ditzy girl characters, so I'm like, eh. But
right.
Like I said, the art was really good, and, you know, a couple funny things. But, I don't know, if you're a Starfire fan, then that's probably really good, but
I'm sort of a Starfire fan. I don't like it when they make her too ditzy, though. Like, that's just annoying to me. And then when they made her really slutty, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I like that either. But...
this book
that's
sounds.
The one where her like costume was just like one little thing up top.
Yep. That was the New 52 one. Yep. But it sounds like a Jimmy Palmiotti and a Commander Connor book. It sounds exactly like how they write Harley Quinn and everything else they've been doing lately. So sounds fun. All right, so my next book is an Image number one on their Shadowline series called Faster Than Light by Brian Haberlin. He did the story and the illustration. This book starts out with, like, this guy who apparently figured out the formula to travel faster than light.
Okay.
So, like, right. So, pretty much. Yeah.
First contact.
Yeah. So these guys are going up to the space station to be put on a ship that they retrofitted to be able to do this thing. And they're like, so, have you thought about what to say if we meet alien life? And the guy's just like, what? And he's like, so they have, like, this whole, like, back and forth conversation, and, like, just about, like, what they would say. He's like, you're definitely, you know, you're the guy that's going to be doing this. Like, what's going on? And then at some point he makes, like, a, just remember you can't be Captain Kirk. Like, no alien chicks at every port. And he's like, no promises. So they go to the space station. The art in this book's really, really cool. It's very Ender's Game-y vibe.
Okay.
Which is cool. So, like, you get, like, it's like Ender's Game and Star Trek had a baby.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
Art style, yeah.
So, well, even the writing style is similar to, like, the whole concept. Like, there's, like, a captain who took over the other ship from this other captain, and now she's the commander because she can't be the captain. And there's, like, a whole secret, like, apparently they know that there's alien life. And, like, the captain that was sent to take over knows that there is, but everybody else in the ship doesn't, except for, like, two other people. And it's just really interesting. There's this... Where is it? So they ask about, like, at one point they, like, try to name the mission, and they're asking, like, the dude from Control, and he's like, how about Ouroboros, which means never ending, and the orbit, like, because they found a new planet.
Okay.
They because of this technology, they have a perfect representation of our solar system, and they found that there's a whole another planet, and it's really close to the sun. So I think that's where they're actually going to be going, even though they're saying they're going to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Ouroboros and blah 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 blah, and it just goes on and on and on. It's kind of neat, and then they show up on the planet, and they're just like, yeah, I think we're going to need more than just a look down here. And you look, and there's, like, downed spaceships, and then all of a sudden this giant thing with tentacles comes out and tries to eat one of them. So it has that Orson Scott Card kind of writing style with, like, a backstory that could be, like, a classic Star Trek story. So it works out really well. I really enjoy it. I'll probably check out issue 2, or I might just catch it all in trade, but it's pretty good. So,
nice.
New number one for you guys.
There you go. Faster than light.
Exactly.
Get it before it flies off the shelves. Faster than I'm not going to finish that joke. All right, so my last book, taking it back to Marvel, is Quake number one.
All right.
So, for those that don't know, Quake is from, she was before the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, right?
Correct.
Okay. But they brought her into it, which suddenly bumped her up big time because everyone's like, oh my god, it's Daisy, she's Quake.
Yeah.
And so now she's getting her own title.
Yeah, she was in Secret Wars, or Secret Warriors.
Oh, okay.
Was the first book.
Yeah, so Matthew Rosenberg and Patrick Kindland are the writers, and Daniel Warren Johnson is the artist. The art's really nice. It's not like my favorite style. It's okay. Like, there's... Every once in a while, there'll be a shot that looks really good. Otherwise, it's a little more pencil-y, I think, is like how I want to say it.
Pencil-y?
Yeah, you know, and it's like... I mean, there's a shot of her, like, being surprised, sort of, like, what do you mean? And she looks like Charlie Brown. Like, they didn't... Because it's a semi-far shot, so, like, she's small within the panel, standing next to someone else, and you have a close-up of the dude walking away from her, like, hey, take it up with the captain. And she's like, what? And she's got little lines over her head, like the shock lines, you know. And it's just, like, two dots for eyes, eyebrows, and like a nose and a face line. There's no detail. And so, you know, and Hawkeye looks kind of like a douche. He's like,
surprise.
Just, yeah. So the premise is that she is being like questioned by SHIELD agents. Like she's handcuffed, and you're like, oh, what happened? She's they want her to relay her side of the story, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then it just picks up. So that's like basically page one, and then the rest of it's essentially a flashback with a few boxes of her. Like, where it's a slightly off color, different text color, so you can tell that that's what she's telling her interrogators as opposed to it being part of the actual story you're reading. And so she's basically going along with the Avengers on the mission. So she's like walking around, you see Hawkeye, you see Vision. I don't know who the one dude is, but then like Iron Man, of course, and like Spider-Woman. Iron Man, of course, is giving her crap. Like, he doesn't think she belongs there.
She doesn't.
You know, and blah, blah, blah. And then she finally finds Captain, or she, like, passes Storm, and she finds Captain America, which I don't understand because Captain America's young. And they even reference Steve Rogers being old.
I'm wondering if this is taking place post-Secret Wars. Which is my guess.
Oh, okay. But no, but, like, within the confines of the story. Like, when she's talking to Iron Man, and he's like, I don't agree with Steve, I don't think you should be here. He's like, Steve is going to do things Steve's way. That's how old people are. And I'm like, thinking, okay, it's old Steve Rogers, no, not Captain America. And like, he, and that's when he goes off saying, I don't believe you should be here, blah, blah, blah. And then she like backtalks him, which is funny. And, you know, kind of puts him in his place, which is nice. And then they walk in, there's young Captain America. But, and right. He's like, call me Steve. And I'm like, well, who the hell are you then? Like, I was expecting, oh, is it going to be Bucky or is it going to be somebody? Because it's white,
maybe.
Captain America. It's not even
maybe
like
they grabbed him from a different universe.
That could be.
Because he has different pants, like different boots.
Well, they're the old school boots.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yeah, but he's like, that's the thing. I'm not, he's like a little, I don't know. To me, Captain America, one of my favorite characters, has this real presence, you know, even in, you know, in the comics. Like, he's got this
right.
thing where he's like, he's just like, oh, man.
Hold on. Do you mean specifically Captain America, or do you mean Steve Rogers, Captain America?
Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Okay. Because, like, I liked John Walker, who became U.S. Agent.
Okay.
But I did not like any of the other random filling guys that
right.
are, like, Nomad and
yeah.
whatever.
No, no, I meant Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Sorry. So he's always given a presence to it, like a gravitas and, like, a sincerity. This Captain America seems a little more childish, almost, like a little more nicer,
right?
You know, and I'm like, okay. So he's and she's like, why am I here? I don't. You have everybody you need. You have the Jackass. You have the he's
right.
got the Red Hulk on the team. So you got, you know, your muscle, your monster, your computer. You get all this, and he's like, well, but you know, you're needed too. And you know, you don't have to come with us if you don't want to, but I hope you do. And like, they are jumping out of a plane, and she jumps out, and she's like, I hate superheroes. You know, like, you know, and she goes with them, and they're raiding like an AIM base. And, you know,
right.
she uses her earthquake powers, which is pretty cool. And there's some fight scenes and stuff.
She bring the house down?
not quite. She okay. she messes them around.
Okay.
Like, you know, there's this big inhuman guy. Like, real huge, like, blob size. Not quite as fat, but that opposing giant. And, like, she's like, you need some help, Cap? And he's, no, I got this. And then the guy grabs him, like, physically, like, one hand, like, almost like a doll, and picks him up. He's like, oh, maybe on second thought. And so she, like, uses her powers, and the guy drops Cap. He's like, oh, thanks. Nice job. And then, blah. And then she's, and the guy barfs on Captain America.
Right.
And she's like, oh, I was trying to quake his heart. I didn't. I guess that's not where the heart is in any human. And he's like, yeah, but it works. Now we know where his stomach is. You know? So there's some clever dialogue. It's funny.
It
and then,
sounds very like how New Warriors wrote.
Okay.
Like, who's writing this again? Did you say?
Yeah. Way to pay attention.
Sorry.
Matthew Rosenberg and Patrick Kildan.
Okay.
Kindly,
I don't know what else they did.
But yeah, it was decent. I'm not going to give away the end because there's some stuff that, like, the twists, like, semi-twists, not twists, really. But,
right.
And then that's why, you know, it comes back full circle to the interrogation, and Cap's like, well, this is why you're here. You know, that's what I wanted you to do. Yeah.
Right.
So it's interesting. You know, I wanted to check it out because I am a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, Chloe Bennett plays Quake
mm-hmm.
on the show, and she's really cool, and she's... I think she's probably one of the reasons that she helped bring that character to life. so that regular, like, non-hardcore S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel fans, because I didn't know who did, you know, Quake, I never heard of her, because I knew she's relatively new.
Hold on, I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's, like,
But, you know, I think, with the show, that, you know, she's brought it to the mainstream, so...
I really doubt they
would have given Quake her own show, or comic, if she wasn't in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I feel that the reason I liked how they did it in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was they didn't just flat out tell you who she was immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it took you, like, two whole seasons to figure out who she was.
Yeah.
I like the way that they set it up, and they, you know, they did everything else. It was very, very well done.
So, for number one, I would say if you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. fan,
okay,
I would say try and pick it up.
So, her first appearance is Secret War, not Wars, War, number one in 2004.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
over 10 years.
Wow, that's way longer than I realized. Okay.
See, Brian.
Mm-hmm. I am not an encyclopedia of comic knowledge like you guys. I just know my favorite comic.
You should. So, anyway, all right. So, my next book, the last book this week, is Holy Eft, Past Tense. By Nick Marino and Dan Mesa from Action Lab. Now, I loved the first series of this. This one takes place after they defeated all the gods, the Roman pantheon and the Greek pantheon and, like, all the random elder gods that, like, everyone forgot about, and they beat them all up at the first one. So this one starts off, Jesus is, he's skateboarding through, like, suburbia. He comes home and Satan's there, and he's like, yo, bro, I'm home. He's like, hey, babe. And then they smooch, because they're a couple.
Okay.
And he's like, cool, I'm going to go take a shower, blah, 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 blah. And then, like...
I like how that was unnecessary. Like, the word, he was taking a shower, and the title page was over the crotch, but they intentionally lowered it in the wrong spot so that he's totally full frontal.
And looks kind of like a U.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway... I was going to skip over that, but that's fine.
No,
that's
cool.
Tell
these people what's
that's right. All right, so then the third part, because each of these books talks about the Unholy Trinity, the third person is Maria, and she helped out in the first one a little bit, but not really. The first one focused in on the nurse. And so then, like, she's at a soup kitchen or whatever helping out, and then you see, like, Jesus listening to, like, an iPad, and he's just, like, air drumming the whole time. And so, like, Satan's, like, reading a book, and then he's just like, I'm going to sleep. And he's like, Bunny, there's something I need to tell you. And he's like, sure, what's up? And he's like, I'm pregnant. And then Jesus is just like, F yeah! So then he goes out skateboarding, and he goes and finds Maria, and then he tells her, and she's all excited about it. And then she yells to everyone in the soup kitchen, hey, everybody, Jesus and Satan are having a baby. And everybody's like, woo, whoop-de-doo. Like, it was hilarious. So then you see Hercules sitting on Mount Olympus complaining because of Jesus and Satan beating everybody up and then, like, annihilating Mount Olympus. So he vows vengeance upon them. So he goes... So then you cut to the soup kitchen, and they're all talking again. This shady character shows up, and Maria's like, hi, how can I help you? And he just goes, my name is Thanatos Costas. I'm new in town. Charity work is my passion, and I hear you're the best. I'd like to come work for you, Maria Garcia. And it's totally him, and it has, like, he's got that, like, like Mr. Satan look from Dragon Ball,
yep.
And it's awesome. So, like, this book already is very, like, right up where I want it to be, because like Nick's from Pittsburgh, and Action Lab's mostly based out of Pittsburgh. They're based everywhere, but most of the higher ups live here, and like that book just hilarious. Like, to read it, there were things I had to leave out because I couldn't talk about them that just make it funny. So, like, if you want to check out the first, I recommend reading the first one because it's just as funny. Because Jesus is basically, like, Rambo and Ron Jeremy and Jesus in a blender. That's what he's like. It's very funny. And the fact that, like, Jesus and Satan are a couple is pretty funny, too. And that Satan can get pregnant. So I don't know how that works. But whatever. I throw caution to the wind. All right. So those were some of the stuff that came out last week. There's new stuff on the wall this week. As always, you can go to ndcomics.com and check out all the new releases for the week. Updates every Monday. Just go and do it. All right. So before we talk about Wizard World, I have some sort of sad news. So one of the artist friends of mine in the area that I've done some shows with called me yesterday to inform me that Ken Fed, I can never say his last name right, Fednewizik, something like that. He was a promoter in the central PA area, and he was a colorist for Marvel and DC and a bunch of other guys. I actually have his comic book DVD pulled up. He's worked on things like Captain America, Big Hero 6, Avengers, Daredevil, Dazzler, Dreadstar, The Fly, Grimjack, Iron Man, Marvel Age, New Mutants, Scooby-Doo, Power Man and Iron Fist, Power Pack, Star Wars, Ninja Turtles, a bunch of Walt Disney stuff, West Coast Avengers, Flare, things like that. Ken was a really cool dude. I got to meet him a couple times doing a couple shows, but he apparently had a quadruple bypass on Monday and passed away yesterday morning, which really sucks. And he ran Nittany Con, Altoona Con, a couple other cons in the middle of the state. I had the pleasure of meeting him and you know, becoming friends with him. He was always the nicest guy ever. He went to the Andy Kubrick School, was one of the first classmates of the Andy Kubrick School. Some of the guys, some of the local area guys that knew him better than I did, including like Bob Hack, Jason Lennox, you know, those kind of guys that lived in that area and knew him a lot more than I did, started a GoFundMe to help his wife cover everything. So if you want to do his GoFundMe, his last name is Fedunieweiz.
Can we put that on the page?
And it's on my personal page. I shared it on my personal Facebook page. I'll probably put it somewhere, like on one of the store's pages.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like if you met him, like, and there's this really awesome, you know, speech about who he was, but like, this dude fought. Like, he was so cool, like, but he would never let down. Like, he never stopped working. Mm-hmm. He pushed and pushed and pushed, and he just, you know, he just was a beast, and he was an awesome guy. Mm-hmm. And he never let it down, and he never let stuff, like, get him down. He just, you know, kept working on stuff. But it's a very big loss to the community. Mm-hmm. He was a really good dude. And, you know, if you guys can help cover some stuff, that'd be cool. I actually haven't gotten to put my donation in yet. I'm going to do that later tonight because mm-hmm. I just saw the GoFundMe earlier today. So definitely checking out. Or if you've gone to one of those cons, you know, that's cool too.
Yeah.
The cons at this point are on hiatus, but they will be returning. There's just a lot of stuff that needs sorted out before that happens.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so,
those aren't going to be the priority right now.
Correct. But when they do, you better believe we'll be at it, and we'll all be, you know, rooting for his wife and, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. Who's also, his wife's Barbara. She's really, really cool. Big Star Trek fan.
Okay.
But she's awesome, and, like, it just sucks. Like, I found out last night, right before a meeting, and, it was, like, it totally just changed my whole night. Like, mm-hmm. it was very weird, because he was such a nice guy. All right, anyway, let's talk about Wizard World now so I can stop being mopey and be slightly better. So, as most of you know, Wizard World Pittsburgh was last weekend.
What?
I got nothing
to contribute to this part because I wasn't there, so...
Well, you can ask questions, and I can try to answer them.
Okay.
So, for the most part,
I felt... Okay, so it was at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center, right? I was in the upstairs ballroom. It's like 100,000 square feet.
And so, and obviously, to give people the perspective, this is when Wizard World bought it, that's now...
Well, correction, Wizard World did not buy Pittsburgh Comic-Con.
Okay.
Like, Renee still owns Pittsburgh Comic-Con, PittsburghComicCon.com, mm-hmm. everything to the names, Pittsburgh Comic-Con. And I believe she allows them to use the words Pittsburgh Comic-Con for this because she didn't want to compete with them. They actually double-booked the venue. And there was some kind of misunderstanding, so she was just like, you know, there's no way I can compete with you. I'll just give it to you as long as you honor all these people's contracts. So that's how that worked.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But so, that's moving. So, you know, up until this year, everyone knows it from the Roeville Expo Mart.
Correct.
There. Now they moved downtown. And, you know, it's being run by a different group, basically.
Yeah, it's definitely a different
banner
thing.
Yeah,
it is way more of a pop culture con. I think they really need to pull the words Comic Con off the top. So it was upstairs. It was like real natural lighting. It was really kind of neat. The layout was nice. The hallways were spacious enough where it really wasn't like, nowhere was it like ever super, super jammed. They sold over 10,000 tickets, which is different than Turnstile, which some cons do to make their numbers look bigger. So when they say they sold 10,000 tickets, they did not count a three-day pass as three different people. They counted it as one. So they sold over 10,000, which for a regular con, that would be pretty good. For Wizard World, that seems a little lackluster. So Friday and Sunday were like $30 to get in, and then Saturday was $50. That doesn't count any of the extra stuff.
Or the parking in the city.
Right. So parking, so we'll tackle that first. So parking, so we parked in an open air lot by Heinz Museum. One day it was $10, another day it was $5, and another day it was $10 again. Which was only $2 cheaper than parking actually in the center. So you could park for 24 hours for $12. So if you got down there early, paid, you know, just parked, walked down the street, got some breakfast, came back in, hung out all day. Like, for Saturday, the con is from 9:30 if you have a VIP, so we'll say 10 to 7, so that's 9 hours.
Yeah.
So most places, if you're going to park for 9 hours, you're going to pay probably around $10 anyway. In Chicago, it was 3 times that.
Oh, wow.
So, I can tell you that that's a little crazy. So parking, I did, and then like say you only want to go for a couple hours, you could pay the meter. You're gonna pay like $6
yeah.
for 4 or 5 hours anyway. So you might as well just pay the 12 in the parking lot and your parking garage and not worry about it and take your time, right? You don't have to keep coming out and feeding the meter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, because like, I guess, okay, so someone played the system a bit. So they stopped ticketing at 6. So he got there at 4, paid the 2-hour meter, and then went into the con till 7. But I was like, I don't think I would pay $30 for 3 hours of con.
Yeah.
So, like, for the parking, I didn't think it was that bad, actually, to be honest, for a single day. I also don't feel that the 3-day pass was worth it for anyone. I feel that a single day pass would have been great because there was enough stuff that you would need all day to hit it, but there's not enough stuff to where you couldn't hit all of it in one day. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, because whenever my friend and I went to Philadelphia Wizard World,
yeah,
we ran into the same thing. Friday and Saturday were okay. Sunday we were like,
what am I going to do now?
In, yeah, hour two in, we're like, let's just drive back.
Right.
It's not bad con, but it's like we're done. There's nothing to see.
Right.
So we left at like, you know, like after like 2 hours of the con open, we just went back to the hotel.
So like at 1 you left or whatever. Yeah. So like then so all right. So like I feel like a single day is justified there. Lines for artists for comic artists and Artist Alley guys, the lines were awesome. They were not very long. They moved very quickly. A lot of the bigger name artists were charging for signatures. Like Rob Liefeld was $40 a piece, except for Youngblood. He'd signed that for free. Yep. And But, like, most of the guys would sign... A lot of guys would sign stuff for free. Like, Ron Friends, Tom DeFalco had a lift. Like, the local guys, they were totally signing for free. But, like, Rob Liefeld was 10 bucks a signature. Or, I'm sorry, 40 bucks a signature. I think Jim Ruggs said, like, after the first one, his were 10 bucks. I think. Don't quote me on that, because I know he's going to Baltimore.
Totally quoting you.
But I think every con, they change it a little bit, depending on the size of the con.
Right.
I kind of understand why they do it, and it's so that people don't just come up with, like, especially with Rob Liefeld. How many freaking Rob Liefeld books are there out there that you can just be like, oh, here's a giant stack. Sign all these for me, Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's going to cost you 40 bucks a piece. And then you're like, well, just sign this New Mutants 98.
Yeah.
You know? So I understand why they do it. I think, like, 10 bucks.
I think, like, the real reason they do is, like, to make money.
That, too. But I think there's a double. I think there's a double standard in there somewhere.
Your point is definitely part of it as well.
Yeah. Especially with guys, like I said, like Rob Liefeld, like who everybody's Deadpool crazy right now. Yeah. So he, I'm sure he gets the lines of the dudes with the suitcases that just drop it there and go. But I got to talk to, like, I talked to everybody. Like, Rob Liefeld came to the booth and actually bought some stuff before the show started one day. Jim Rugg was hanging out. Like, Ron Friends hung out for a little bit. We're actually carrying his new book on the shelves. It's on a small press publisher. Pat O'Liff was awesome to hang out with, because I don't really get to see Pat a lot because he lives on the other side of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really do a lot of stuff. But I talked to him about barbed wire for like a half hour. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. So I talked to Tom DeFalco, and I was like, so Tom, like, I really enjoy all these new M2 things you guys are putting in the back of Spider Island. And he's like, yeah, it was very weird to, like, actually be able to do that kind of stuff again, especially with, working with Ron again. And then it was kind of cool because he started making jokes and telling stories about, like, working with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And with Danny Fingeroth, who was, like, the next guy down, mm-hmm. who was an editor at Marvel at the time. He was editor-in-chief. And, like, Scott McDaniel, who was there, like, that was his boss, too. So, like, all of those guys worked together at the same time.
Nice.
And if you cruise Facebook and you find a couple of those guys, you'll see a picture of all of them together. But Fingeroth, Pat, Tom, and Ron all did, like, a cool Spider-Man panel on Sunday. Ooh. It was really, really neat. It was kind of cool because they just were talking. It was really funny, though, to hear, like, Tom DeFalco, like, be like, because I asked him about Three Rivers Con, right? And he's like, I'll think about it, He's like, but any chance I get to come to take money off these guys, because they owe me a lot. That's like, that's hilarious. He's like, I have a talk. So, but Tom DeFalco, really great dude. Like, first time meeting him. You definitely can tell he's from, like, New York. Like,
yeah.
Straight up New York. Or at least Jersey. But, like, that area, he has that thick accent. It's pretty cool. So the celebrities, like, the movie and TV guys, like, their lines were long at times, but they moved very, very quickly. And everybody I talked to that went to any of them said everything was awesome. Like, when you went to do the picture thing, like, you actually got to talk to them for, like, 2 or 3 minutes before they took your picture.
Oh,
it wasn't just, like...
Philadelphia was not like that at all. It was total streamlined. And I guess maybe because they had more.
Yeah.
Because, you buy the tickets in advance for the photo ops.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it's just like...
I also think it depends on the celebrity.
What's that?
So, I think it depends on the celebrity.
If it was a photo op, it was you walk up, you turn, you smile, you take a picture, you get the hell out. I barely had time to say, hey, I loved you in whatever to each one,
Yeah.
And that was it, And then I was walking away.
Right. Because I heard some really great things about Shatner when doing that. Like, he was, like, talking to people and joking around. And one of the guys who subs at C3, I was talking to him about this. He said he was in line, and because he didn't have the VIP pass, any VIPs that came up, they let them cut, because that's part of the deal. So they were like, hold on, man, we have a VIP coming. And the VIP was Dave Duchovny. And I guess Dave Duchovny looks at him and just goes, nah, he's way too big. You can just go right ahead first. Because he's just, like, a bigger dude. And he was just like, thank you? So he went in.
Did he just call me fat?
I don't think he called him fat. I think he called him, like, just... like just a big dude. Just, okay. He's a, like just a very large dude. And so it was just funny because he's like, I went in, said hi to Shatner. He said hi to me, said I loved you in this, said it was cool. Then they were like, hey, all right, look over here. Boom, took a picture. Thank you, Mr. Shatner. Thank you for your time. Walked out. And then afterwards he went, damn it, why didn't I have David Duchovny get in the picture too? So it was just really funny because I was just like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that
but to know combo. That to know that like people were like that was cool. Like I heard some great things about Eddie McClintock. Like I know like he talked to people for like almost 10 minutes per person.
Well, see, so. I think it does really come to the celebrity because when I was, you know, at Philly.
And same with James Marsters, I heard a lot about. Like
Henry Winkler is like phenomenal.
Oh, really?
My respect for him went up because I wanted to get a picture with him because I like Here Comes the Boom.
Yeah.
Here Comes the Boom, that movie. And of course, you know, the Fonz. But I mean, right. That wasn't.
I heard he can be like, it's either awesomely cool or very terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I've never heard. I mean, everyone has bad days, and it could be. But I mean, like, he was just super sweet to everybody.
Right. Yeah, like, it was weird. Like I said, like, Eddie McClintock was really, really cool. James Marsters was really cool. Sean Pertwee, like, there were times where he didn't have any line, and then people would just walk up and just start talking to him about stuff. And I didn't have time, but I wanted to walk up and be like, so if they asked you to, like, you know, portray your dad's version of Doctor Who in the Doctor Who current so they could do a third Doctor meets the new stuff, because you look just like your dad. but he talked to people about Gotham, like, all day long, because he's Alfred on Gotham.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he totally, like, he looks just, like, perfectly like Alfred. Like, even out of character, you're just like, yeah, you totally look like you could be Alfred all the time. David Duchovny's line was, like, super fast and super huge. Jason David Frank, I either didn't see him because he was taking pictures, or his line was ginormous and you couldn't see him over the line.
Yeah.
It was one or the other. It was crazy, but that was kind of cool. Overall, I thought it was okay. I don't think it was terrible, but I don't think it was good.
Right.
I think it was okay for the first one out. I don't think it was bad. I really liked the venue. Mm-hmm. I really liked the atmosphere, but I feel that they needed more vendors. I feel like they needed more artists. I heard next year they are expanding to the other, like they're expanding to the next hall over as well,
mm-hmm.
But they have a 5-year contract and they're not going away for a while. So,
well, there you go.
You know, next
Wizard World it is.
Yeah, and they already have it scheduled and it's like mid-September again next year, mid to late, or like that third weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the 20th, 21st this year, next year,
okay.
Or 20th through the 22nd or whatever. It's like one day difference.
Well, I mean, anything that gets
we'll
us,
be there.
Yeah, anything that has us at Pittsburghers a chance to
right.
Have our own cons and stuff, you know, the more the better. You know, we got Still City, we're going to have Three Rivers, we got this. It's a little bit of something for everybody, because if you want the comic book-centric con, you come to Three Rivers. If you want something a little more pop culture, you got Wizard World to fall back on. You want toys, you got Still City.
Right.
It's a nice mix.
Right. It's definitely one of those things you know, you just kind of have to go forward and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that that it works out. So, but that's pretty much all I got on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't think anything major nerd-related has dropped anytime recently. Like, this kind of nerd
like
stuff.
Super nerdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Might be. No.
There's no big movies coming out.
No. Baltimore's coming up. I'll have a review of that next time. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think we touched on everything.
Yeah, so
we'll probably remember something awesome like 5 minutes after we stop.
yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I think I just want to go home and take a nap now. So. Go read some comics.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.